Awesome. Yep, come around this way.
Thank you, Kate. We have a video. I don't know if we'll... Can we show the video first, or do you want me to talk first? Just as the video has been thrown up, I just want to say thank you. Waiuku Church, you've been with us for, I think, 37 years. You've been... Isn't that amazing? You guys have been so faithful to be there for us. And what a blessing. What a blessing you are. We just got a video of our work, and then I'll come back and say a little bit more. Wow, let me just stand here. Yeah. Thank you, Waiuku. You have invested in us, and I believe your investment has been valuable for the kingdom of God. Steve and Florence have visited us there, and we're just so thankful that we know that we've got people that are willing to stand with us. Thank you. Every time I watch that, I'm reminded of the young man who did that video for us together with Yolanda. And he was one of our sponsored boys. So we have the sponsored program. We have the touch, what we call Touch of Family, which was we were very busy with Touch of Family during COVID, because it wasn't COVID that was the problem, it was the reaction to COVID. So many of our people that we know and people we didn't know in the slum lost their jobs. So we were able to go and give food packages. We gave out thousands of food packages over that time. So we're just so thankful to the New Zealand Church for standing with us at that time. As you saw, my role mostly is with training children's workers. And in fact, just last week, Sunday, I had a team return to Kenya from South Sudan. They've been in South Sudan, the side near Uganda, on the Ugandan side of South Sudan. But we've also trained South Sudanese in the refugee camp in Kakuma. We've been there several times, and we've got a team of seven facilitators in that camp who are doing amazing trainings for children's workers up there. We did a TOT, a training of trainers, earlier this year in January. It's a 3-week course where we train them, we teach the facilitators how to prepare and plan a course, then they have to practice it, and then they have to go into different churches and orphanages and teach what they have practiced and reached out to the children. So I really want to be in there. I think each one of us got a kid inside of us, haven't we? And mine's definitely still very active. Thank you, worship team. That song, Dancers Who Dance Upon Injustice. I'm like, that's where we're at. You know, we see so much injustice in Kenya. And we come back to New Zealand, where we all have always thought New Zealand was this lovely, peaceful, you know, country where there's no corruption. And, you know, I mean, that's what we came from. And we come back and we see injustice here, and it breaks our heart. So let's dance upon injustice. We can seek the Lord. And as Guy said, do we say happy Pentecost Sunday? I don't know if we say, but certainly we pray that the Holy Spirit will flow in and through you on this day and throughout the year, of course. Let's practice Pentecost every day, as one pastor said to me this morning. Let's practice Pentecost. You know, we are... I love your new church, I've got to say. I was talking to Terry. Terry and I have something in common. We were Methodists back in the day. And, you know, that's where we had a great Sunday school in the Methodist Church. That's where I learned a lot of those songs. You know, Jesus bids me shine like a pure, clear light. That one, those kind of things. Yeah. So it's lovely to see you in your own building. What a thrill. God is faithful, yeah? But, of course, the true church is here. And as I was thinking this morning about this about today, I just feel like some of us here have come with troubles, come with struggles. You know, just like the people in Kibera in the slum are hurting because of the reaction of COVID. And so they actually didn't die from COVID. They didn't even get it, to be honest. Even though there was no masks, there was no social distancing, they didn't catch it somehow. I mean, the richer people were dying, but the people in Kibera were not dying. God is amazing. And as we make decisions, as we trust God that we will come closer to Him. That is my prayer for you today. So let me pray as Robin comes to share the word. Lord, we just say we want to draw closer to you today. We desire for your Holy Spirit to come and minister to our minds, minister to our hearts. Lord, that we will be prepared to do what you would have us to do and become the people you would have us become. Anoint Robin as he shares what is on his heart. In Jesus' name.
Well, it's great to be with you. You guys have been very generous. You're a blessing to us. We've been able to help so many people because of your help. I want to talk today about faith. Faith is something that we all have, else we wouldn't be born again. We're saved by grace through faith. But in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, it talks about the heroes of faith. This great woman of God did this. This great man of God did this. And it lists them one after another. And then slotted in near the end is a verse in Hebrews 11:33. It says, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. Here is a simple formula that these heroes of faith had done so that they could achieve what was promised. We all have a destiny. It's not by accident we're sitting here today. God has a promise for you, a destiny, and we need to gain that destiny. So let's learn a little bit about the simple formula that God has. How important is faith? Faith is the currency that the kingdom of God operates. And if we want to gain what is promised, we need to build our faith. Faith is like a muscle. You know, we go to the gym and when you're young, when you're old like me, you go somewhere else for exercise, but you're going and working the muscles and the muscles grow. God wants our faith to grow so that we can achieve what God is destined for us. So what does it mean to administer justice? Let me give you an illustration about our farm. I had a divine appointment with a gentleman. A gentleman I'd never even heard of, didn't know of, and he asked to meet me. I met him, had a coffee, and he gave us a very large donation which allowed us to buy this farm. But we had the money to put up a couple of buildings, but the list that we needed was as long as my arm. You know, we needed more dormitories, more classroom blocks, toilet blocks. You needed a dining hall, all the facilities, and then we needed the agricultural facilities to teach these young men. So we needed irrigation systems. We had to get a bulldozer to level the land. The list just goes on and on. And what we did, we built with what we had, bought the land, but the land with a couple of buildings was absolutely useless unless you have the teachers, and with teachers comes housing. We had to have the street boys there. With that comes building dormitories. So we had a great list. But, you know, I was just amazed at God, because we wrote the list of things we wanted and how quickly we could tick each thing. As soon as we finished one building, as soon as we finished one agricultural development, somebody was there to help us with the next. We had nobody underwriting our program except for God, but we had a list of what we were believing from God. I'll give an example of how administering faith works. I was having my devotion one morning, and at the end of my devotion, my mind went to our builder. Our builder was 2 or 3 weeks away from finishing the building he was working on. And I just simply said to God, "Lord, I wonder what you're going to do next." It was no prayer, it was just a conversation. Well, prayer is a conversation with God, isn't it? But I just said, "Lord, I wonder what you're going to do next." A couple of hours later, I was going about my day, my phone rang. It was a friend from the South Island. He said, "Oh, Robin, how are you doing? This and that." And we talked, and then he said, "Robin, what building are you building next?" And I said to him, "Oh, we're planning a dormitory and also a classroom block." The classroom block included a staff room, a storeroom, and an office. So I told him about that, and he said, "How much would that cost?" And I said, "Well, look, I haven't got the exact figure, but it's somewhere around $100,000. He said, "Oh, $100,000? He said, "I think we can do that." He said, "I was talking to a friend of mine, and we were both discussing how our friends are going off to Germany and sailing down the Rhine and all of that." He said, "The two of us decided maybe we should invest in young people instead of investing in our old age." And you know what? It took them a little longer than they thought. They had to get a few friends to help them, but the money came through, and we built that classroom block. You know, that is when we dream in God, He comes through for us. Have you got a dream in God? Get it if you haven't. Wait on Him. See where you're going, because God wants to give you what He's promised. And some of us don't listen to what He's saying. Let me give you an illustration out of the Old Testament how this works. God brought the children of Israel out of Egypt. I'm sure we all know the story. God calls Moses and says, "Look, go and set the children of Israel free." He goes before Pharaoh and says, "Let the people go." And the Pharaoh says, "No way, Jose. They're staying. They're my slaves." And God showed up, and Moses went back. God showed up. God did miracle after miracle until Pharaoh couldn't keep them any longer. And he lets them go, but then we know what happens. They head off in victory. And they end up at the Red Sea. The desert one side, the sea the other side, and then Pharaoh changes his mind. And can you imagine being there with 3 million people and you start to hear the hoofbeats of Pharaoh's army coming to kill you, and you see the dust flying up as the horses are going through the desert, and you look that way, here comes Pharaoh. You look that way, and there's a sea much bigger than you can swim across. And then God shows up. You know, God sometimes tells us to do stupid things. I mean, an army's coming to kill them, and God says, pick up a stick like your walking stick and hold it over the sea. What a thing to say. A walking stick is going to save 3 million people, but we know that God showed up. They walk through. Pharaoh decides he's going to chase them and finish them. He goes through the sea. The sea closes down, and they're finished. We all face these hard times. The children of Israel were finished, but God. You know, the doctor told me, I'm coming close to being finished. He said, I've got cancer. But you know what? But God. God reminded me when the oncologist says, you've got cancer and you're in major trouble. I mean, praise God for the medical facilities we have available today. But I need God to come through. And God reminded me how powerful the word of God is. We turn to Genesis chapter 1, and the world was in chaos, empty and void, and God said, let there be light. God said, God said, God said. That is the word of God that we carry around in our pockets and in our phones. The word of God spoke, and the world, the universe, even the scientists today can't work out how many stars, how many billions are out there. That is how powerful God is. And the word of God also says, by Christ's stripes, I'm healed. Amen? So who's going to win the battle? A cancer about the size of my little finger, or the God of the universe that spoke the universe into being? That same God says to you, I shall supply all your needs. I'll help you out of this financial trouble. God says to those that need healing, the same as me. You know, God is there for us no matter what we're facing. But God, but God, but God will bring us through. See, Pharaoh was simply a hindrance blocking Israel to their future. And the problem you are facing is simply a hindrance to you possessing your future. But God is there with us. And the children of Israel, after they had been delivered through the Red Sea, they had to go through the desert because they had a land to conquer. Yes, it took them longer than they thought, and sometimes we mess up and we create the problems. But you know what? Even when we make mistakes and mess up, God comes through for us. You know, one of the stories in the Bible about Jesus. Jesus goes to the disciples, and the disciples were fishing. And he says, they'd caught nothing. And Jesus says, cast your net the other side. Now, most of us, when we want a miracle, we expect God. We think God is going to do it. But there is hardly a miracle in the Bible where God supernaturally did it. We have to participate. The children of God. You know, when they needed the fish, what did Jesus say? Cast your net. Now, I believe that Jesus could have spoke and the fish could have just jumped into the boat. Eh? Many people, when they're wanting a miracle, they're sitting back like this, God, what are you going to do? And most of the time, we need to not say, God, what are you going to do? We say, God, is there anything I should do? And the disciples had to pull those fish into the boat. And you know what? They then had to take it ashore. And what do you do with fish when you get ashore? You have to gut the fish. It's a job I hate doing. I like eating fish, but that's the worst job of the lot. And you know, if we're in this church and we want to make an impact, we've got to be looking at cleaning the fish, our lives and those around us. I want to tell you about a fish we helped clean. At our farm, we were approached by a probation officer. And this probation officer came to us and said, look, the judges of Kenya are discussing the criminal system for young offenders. The problem is, young guys go to jail, just like New Zealand, and then they've gone to the University of Crims. They come out better trained than they were when they went in at stealing from us, right? And so the judges of Kenya were looking at alternative punishment, and they said, would you take a young man to see if your system of reforming young men will work better than the jail? So we agreed. We didn't. Normally, we're involved in interviewing guys that come to the farm that are in prison. We have a contact centre in the slums to work out which guys want to come. But this guy was chosen by the judges. So he came, and after 2 months, he went to our counsellor and he said, look, this is not really for me. I want to leave. And so our counsellor phoned up the probation officer and said, look, this young man wants to leave. The probation officer said, he cannot leave till I get there. So the probation officer was there in about an hour's time. And then he started to explain to us what this young man had been up to in his previous life. He had been a part of a group of young men that was sent to a neighbouring country of Kenya, and he was trained for 3 years as a terrorist. And then he came back to Nairobi and he was carjacking cars with a gun and making money to fund the terrorist organisation. And that's when he was caught. And then the judges kindly sent him to us to see if we could change him without telling us. I don't know if we would have taken him if we'd known, but I think God was setting us up for a miracle. Anyhow, this young man, he still wanted to leave until the probation officer said, do you realise if you leave this farm, you're on the police's shoot to kill list? As soon as any policeman saw him walking the streets, bang. That's how they deal with terrorists, because we have buildings blown up and people killed regularly. So this young man kind of had a wake-up call. I wonder why he decided to do the 2 years at the farm. It is a way of keeping them there, of course. So, you know, the last thing I did at our farm before I came to New Zealand, I went to his graduation ceremony. This young man had done his two years. And you know what he was doing? He was leading in worship. He had gone from a terrorist to a worship leader. We have a powerful God that can change anybody. I'll give you another illustration. I have to tell stories because we've got some of the young people here. One of the things we grow at our farm, we started growing, is lettuce hydroponically. And we started growing it quite successfully, so we approached the supermarket chain and said, look, would you be interested in buying our hydroponic lettuce? And they said, yes, there's a good market for that. Can you supply us? Except they said, the only problem is you need a refrigerated truck to deliver the produce. They don't want dust and they don't want them to deteriorate on the way to market. So my colleague, Yolanda, the one that was on the video, came to me and said, look, We've got this contract with the supermarket, but how do we get a refrigerator truck? And I said to her, well, look, how much for a second-hand refrigerator truck? I wrote it on a piece of paper. Then I said, look, when you buy something second-hand, you need some money to fix it, because usually second-hand things need repairs. So we put in a couple of $1,000s for that. And then we needed insurance for the truck. So we wrote that down. And then I said, what I normally do is I sow seed. I give an offering into a ministry. And then I believe God to bring that money in. And our colleague Yolanda is Dutch. And you know, Dutch are quite straight. They speak their minds. Any Dutch here? Most of us know Dutch. But I've also learned one thing about Dutch. They're also very generous. And anyhow, so my colleague says, well, I don't know about this giving to get. And I said, well, look, are you willing to try with me? So she agreed that she would sow some seed. So normally I'm doing this with Margaret, so I'm not usually coaching somebody in this, but we agreed on how much we had to get for the truck, and we agreed on how much we would sow in seed. So I went off and sowed my seed, and Yolanda went off and sowed her seed. I don't know where she sowed it, but anyhow, a couple of days later, she came to me and said, look, we were talking, and I said to her, look, I don't know about a truck. Maybe a truck is bigger than we need. Maybe we should just get a refrigerated van. Well, she had asked me when we were going through this, could I write to my support office in Holland and see if they can raise the money? And I said, well, look, when I sow seed, I just trust God and the money comes. But I don't see there's anything wrong with you writing to your support office. So she wrote to the support office and said, look, we want this truck. 2 days later, we were talking, and I said, I don't know about the refrigerated truck. Maybe we'll get a van. So she wrote to them again and said, look, we've changed our mind. We want a van. The only thing is, we had sown seed for a truck. And I don't know what happened to her email, because the second email, they never even acknowledged it. They came back 2 weeks later and said, we've found the money for a truck. That was great. The only thing, I made another mistake. Normally it's Margaret and I sowing the seed. Yolanda went and sowed seed for a truck, and I sowed seed for a truck. 2 weeks later, I get an email from a donor, and he says, look, I fund trucks. I run a finance company funding people buying trucks. If you guys would like a truck, I'd like to give a gift. And you know what? It was exactly what we're asking for. So then I had to write back to my donor and say, look, we've already got money for a truck, but can we use that money for increased lettuce production? Which he agreed. You know, it gets exciting when you start writing things down. If I don't write things on paper, I forget what I've exactly asked for, right? And we're asking for this today and that tomorrow, and we should be specific. We should be clear. We should know exactly what we're believing God for. And you know what? When we're specific and know what we're believing God for, He comes through. Do you want God to come through for you? Write your list. You know, it says, is ministry justice? Well, justice, of course, is teaching to do the right things. We have to work that with our boys, because our boys do not know. They're teenagers. They've come from pretty hard backgrounds. Most of them, their life is stealing to stay alive. We have to teach them what is right. But do you know what an administrator is? You know, they're an organized person. They're sometimes a bit bossy. They're, you know, let's do this and this and this and this. That's how we've got to operate our faith. Not just here and there and everywhere. Be specific. Know where you're going. So, why did Joseph end up the prime minister of Egypt? You know the story. Joseph was in jail. He interpreted Pharaoh's dream. And Pharaoh says, what does this mean? And Joseph interprets the dream, tells him there is coming 5 years of plenty. 7 years of plenty. Thank you, Mark. 7 years of plenty, and we're going to store up part of the harvest so it'll take us through 7 years of famine. Joseph could interpret the dream, but he had the answer for Pharaoh. He says, we won't just face this famine, we will manage our way through it. Joseph administered himself into being the prime minister of Egypt. If you want God to come through, if you want to achieve what God has promised you, know where you're going in faith, because it works and it works and it works. Let me pray for you. Father God, I thank you for these people. I thank you that Cornerstone has been such a faithful church. And Lord, where people are faithful, you pour out a blessing. And Father, I pray, as individuals are sitting here today, Lord, you have promises for them. Lord, you have destinies for them. You have people for them to change. You have miracles of provision, miracles of healing, miracles of breakthrough in every way. Father, I pray that you'll bless these ones. You'll speak to those that don't know where they're going, and they will clearly know. Those that know where they're going, Father, give them the faith to step out and achieve what you've promised. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow. Thank you, Robin. It's great, isn't it, to have those illustrations and life experiences coupled to the Word of God to just really see us how that works out in our others' lives, but also how we can apply that to our own. And I've just heard a message a little while ago on faith from, obviously, out of Hebrews, which is a great place to go for that. And just putting together that stepping out and actually doing something, like all those heroes of faith, it was in collaboration with God's word to them that they stepped out on that basis, and they actually put some reality to what they believed in stepping out. So I just want to encourage us, not only this week, but always, bearing in mind that God does have a destiny and a purpose for each one of our lives, but also corporately as a church. We really believe that we are not here by accident, gathered together today, of course, but also that just the testimony of how God has brought us to this particular place and the purpose which he has for us from this place. As Margaret said, it's a fairly prominent place in the township, isn't it? And so from here, we want to reach out in collaboration with the other churches too, to see Waiuku know that there's a God that loves them, that there's God that wants to meet with them wherever they are at, whether they are really struggling, whether they think they've got it made. There's no one that really can live without him in their life. So look, we're not taking communion today together as we normally do, but I just want to close in prayer and then we'll go and enjoy a tea and coffee. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, thank you for this word sown into our hearts. I pray that in the days to come that you will just continue to remind us, help us to meditate on what it is to walk in faith. Lord, the substance of those things which we're believing, I pray that you would make them a reality. Lord, help us to organize our lives around your will and purpose. Lord, I pray that our delight would be your will and that we would walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Amen.
Before we go, but wait, there's more. I think it would be really wonderful for us to pray for you. 40 years on the mission field is remarkable, and you've had some incredible things happen. You've had some incredibly challenging things happen, and we would love to pray for you, to bless you, to honour you before God. So if you would like to come forward, and if I could invite Vic and Sue to come up as well, and Chris and Helen, would you guys like to come up as well? Start with you guys if that's okay.
Father, we want to be very, very sensitive to the moving of your Holy Spirit at this time. Holy Spirit, breathe over this couple. In that breath, we pray, Lord, that they would have an empowering, a sense of destiny, a strengthening, a direction, and a mountainous of joy and peace. We commend them to you in the most precious name of Jesus. For your glory, we thank you for this couple and for the things that you want to do in their lives. Hallelujah.
Heavenly Father, the one who is our shepherd, our Father, the one who guides us, who gives us their destiny. I thank you for this couple, the young people, the many people they've influenced. And Lord, we just want to say thank you for what you're doing, and we just pray that you will continue to brood over all those young people and cause them to continue to grow up and to serve you in a very powerful way. But thank you, it's just part of a journey. And Lord, you know the next steps. And we just want to pray for this dear couple that, Lord, you will continue to open doors. Continue to make it possible for them to be faithful to you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your Spirit in our lives. Amen.
Our Father, we thank you for the global church that you are building around the world. Thank you for what you are doing in Kenya. We thank you for Robin and Margaret, for their faithfulness in responding to your call on their lives. They have been faithful. You have been faithful. Lord, you are building your church in Kenya, and we give you thanks for that. And thank you that Robin and Margaret can trust the God who called them those years ago, even for now, for today, and for tomorrow. You will continue to lead and bless them, and we thank you and praise your name. Amen.
Lord, I thank you for the seeds that died when they gave their lives to Jesus. Thank you that as they died to themselves, Lord God, they produced 100-fold. Because of their faithfulness, you have been faithful. Because of their love, you have loved on them and through them. Lord, I just pray for your peace to rest upon them throughout these coming seasons, that not only that peace, but also that joy that is so inexpressible, But Lord, thank you. Just thank you for them. In Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, we continue to pray your blessing upon their feet. That where every step that they take you, that they would walk boldly, that the ground that they walk on would be claimed in Jesus' name. I thank you for the places where they have stood and the places that you will take them to stand in Jesus' name. And in that I pray, Father God, that you, your Spirit of God, that you would continue to breathe upon them and that it be your breath within them that brings the Word of God, breath of life, as they speak and as they minister, as they have to us today, that they would continue to minister and that as has been spoken, that the words that have already been spoken continue to take root in the hearts and lives of people, young and old, and that they it would flourish and produce fruit within itself that would then go forth to sow seed into others. Father God, I pray that you would continue to give them sight to see the things that you have for them and that you have for the ministry and that you have beyond time for that they may not yet see, but that they would begin, well, they would continue to sow in prayer with their joy, with their love, with their tears. Yeah. We bless them in your mighty name, Jesus. May they know your peace and your joy and your incredible love. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Yeah. Wonderful. Thank you. Okay. Okay, it is time now for tea and coffee. Feel free to head on out and have a cup of tea, a time of fellowship. Feel free to come and have a chat to Robin and Margaret.